Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app. We're on from 1 till 4. After 4 o'clock, anything you missed, John Cobell's show on demand on the iHeart app. And follow us on the iHeart app. You can make dinner on the iHeart app, too. Moist line is 877-MOIST-86, 877-MOIST-86. Tomorrow's Friday. Do we, Eric's not there, is he? All right. I assume we have plenty, or do we need any last minute?
We got
surge?
Room for a couple more.
Room for a couple more? Okay. All right. You got any last minute complaints? 877-MOIST-86. Michael Monks from KFI News is here. And I don't know what you did wrong, but you had to cover Gavin Newsom today. he was, I guess, a little bit excited that Proposition 1 passed, and this is the proposition that's going to give him access to many billions of dollars to fight homelessness and build mental health clinics and all the other rah-rah stuff. So what was going on today? He was in L.A., right?
Yeah, emphasis on little bit. Excited, John, yeah. Because this was not a substantial victory that I think the governor was hoping for and pushing for the passage of Proposition 1. This was probably his biggest issue during the campaign here in California. Yeah. He decided to put it on the March primary ballot instead of waiting till November so that it was free and clear, no other propositions to compete with, even though he anticipated a more conservative electorate coming out in March. But I don't think he bargained for the squeaky nail biter through which he received a victory that was declared by some media outlets just yesterday. So yeah. This thing passed by 50.2%, a margin of about 30,000 votes. So to say that this was not too celebratory would be a bit of an understatement. Yes, the governor was here in L.A. this morning with a lot of local officials at the Reagan Building downtown to talk a bit about what he expects to come of this now. But there was no confetti falling, to say the least.
Right. No marching bands. Well, I mean, the opposition... Obviously, there was a lot of opposition in the state, but nothing organized that had money because hardly a dollar was spent.
Hardly a dollar. I mean, that's not an exaggeration, John. From what I understand, campaigns associated with fundraising on behalf of passing Proposition 1, including the governor himself who raised funds for this, was about $13 million. On the other side, to keep the vote as close as it was, opponents organized only about $1,000.
$1,000?
That's what media reports are indicating.
What did they do with the $1,000?
Probably bought a couple of signs that they waved that were pretty affected. I think what you saw...
If they had some donations, they would have been able to defeat this.
Maybe $2,000 and it would have been over the top.
Yeah.
But I think what the governor was up against, more than just any money that could be raised against him, he kind of conceded today, is that voters in California are a bit tired of hearing about strategies to combat mental illness, drug addiction, and homelessness. There's a certain amount of fatigue among the electorate out there that he knows he's got some headwinds against in trying to push this massive opportunity to what he hopes will be a serious address of those
things. Here in LA County, LA City, we got whacked with billions of dollars of tax increases in 2017. Proposition H, I think, was the city. Prop HHH was the county, or the other way around. I always get them confused. And there's billions of dollars, and everything got much, much worse. So there is no connection between the money and their stupid programs and actually getting the vagrants off the street.
If people aren't seeing results, then they're not as eager to support these newer initiatives. And that's what the governor said today, was basically money has been spent at various levels of government to address various issues associated with homelessness, drug addiction, and mental illness, some combination of all those things. And the public are not seeing the results, at least not significantly enough to be enthusiastic about this. No. And so it wasn't just the $1,000 that was raised against this. It was people's own eyes.
Yeah. No, there's no credibility in this anymore, at least with half the population. Did he say what he's going to do with the money? Not that I believe it, but, you know, what did he say?
Of course. And this was support. This was interesting because this was an initiative not just supported by the governor, but also some local officials. We're talking about the sheriff's office, some local elected officials, members of the General Assembly are all behind this as well. In fact, Sheriff Robert Luna said just this morning alongside Gavin Newsom that he expects it to reduce the jail population because 42% of his inmates, he says, suffer from mental illness. And so whatever magic powers this new initiative is going to address, he expects it will help those with mental illness who are spending too much time behind bars in the crowded jails. But this is a twofold proposition. There's a bond initiative for over $6 billion that the state can borrow to fund a bunch of beds, housing units, half of which will be reserved for veterans, and also some, about 6,800 mental health and drug treatment beds. But it also changes the way counties can use some money from another tax that was first adopted by voters in 2004 against millionaires to fund mental health initiatives. Now, 2/3 of those revenues have to go towards mental health issues associated with homelessness.
Yes, I remember that tax, and it raised a lot of money. And that didn't do anything either. Suddenly, mentally ill people started pouring out into the streets.
In fact,
often whacked out on drugs.
Some counties that don't have significant homeless populations, rural counties in California, are concerned about that part of the measure because now 2/3 of those funds that they were using towards general mental health situations are now have to be reserved towards a homeless population that doesn't necessarily exist, or not at least at the scale of Los Angeles or San Francisco.
Did he address why anybody should trust him on this issue?
Well, I think Gavin Newsom did get asked this morning about whether his own personality was a challenge for this to be adopted because he can be a bit of a polar. He's a bit of a national figure now, right?
And he's
certainly
absolutely
an ambassador for Democratic and progressive values in the country. And so that alienates people who certainly don't fall in those lines of thinking.
At least if it worked. My problem is he's got all these values and look what we've got in the streets. So these ideas don't work.
He didn't answer the question directly. He's very good at pivoting away from those things as national politicians tend to be. So he did not give a straightforward answer on that. So to be determined on that, I suppose.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
For covering it. And you know what? Eventually, I mean, the reporters just have to tackle him. I mean, literally tackle him. Force him to own up to his failures. You're going to see. 5 years from now, there's going to be a story that they're going to call for an audit about all the money from Proposition 1 has been wasted. Homelessness has increased. And it's because people get fooled every time. I mean, do we have superpowers that half California doesn't have that we could look at Gavin Newsom or a Garcetti, or a Karen Bass, and immediately see, oh, we got a grifter here. We got a con artist. It's another shakedown. And they actually go and they give a speech and they say, yeah, we're going to have a task force. We're going to have a special commission. We got a program here. We're going to build mental health clinics. We're going to get shelter beds. We're going to do this, this, and this. And then the reality is these dirty, gross deals done behind closed doors. And friends and family set up fake nonprofits. They make hundreds of thousands of dollars. No homeless people are serviced. But, you know, with the mental health situation, and these are the details, again, that nobody asks about. All right, you build a mental health clinic. Ultimately, these people have to be drugged. You got to give them medication to control all their crazy impulses, violent impulses. They're bipolar, they're schizophrenia, right? That's what a lot of the homelessness is, schizophrenia and bipolar and drug addiction. They don't take their medicine. They're not held in the mental health clinics for very long. The system is not designed to hold them very long. So once they go through the front door, they're not taking their pills anymore. If they're not taking their pills, they go crazy again. They can't hold jobs. Most of these people are unemployable. So you have this whole collection of unemployable, brain-damaged drug addicts and lunatics, and now we're going to build a clinic, right? Oh, yeah. Who's got that contract? Whose brother-in-law gets that contract to build the mental health clinics? What unions are going to be paid off to do the construction on the mental health clinics? That's what it goes on in the real world. And, of course, nobody, that's what I mean. Nobody pins him down on that. All right, more coming up. We're going to have more on Ohtani, too. We're going to go through that scandal. That is fascinating, the Shohei Ohtani, the gambling scandal involving his interpreter, Ippei Mizuhara. Mizuhara, okay? That's how you say it. There are some names that my brain just cannot.
I'm on.
Am I doing the first name right? Ippei?
I can tell you. That Eric's coming over.
I think it's Ippei.
Ippei. Huh. See, I didn't even think of that. Okay, Ippei Mizuhara. I'll practice that.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand, also on the iHeart app. So there's a new story out from ESPN, an updated story that just came out a very short time ago by Tisha Thompson and about Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter and this $4.5 billion gambling debt that the interpreter had and the claim that the interpreter stole $4.5 million from Ohtani's bank account. And I don't understand it. This new story, this updated story, still the whole thing doesn't make any sense. And I'll explain why it doesn't. Maybe it makes sense to you. It doesn't make sense to me at all. Shohei Ohtani, big star, you know, with the Dodgers, has been with the Angels for years. When he came to America, he brought along his interpreter. And his name is Ippei Mizuhara. And Mizuhara would make between $300,000 and $500,000 a year. And most recently, he was an employee of the Dodgers. So he worked for the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have fired him. Now, yesterday, Ohtani's spokesman, and that guy is not named in these stories, and I don't know why. It's just listed as an Ohtani spokesman. Told ESPN that the money, the $4.5 million in wire transfers, was sent. Well, reporters found out that there was $4.5 million in wire transfers that were sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation. And so people wondered, well, is Ohtani doing the betting? What's the story here? So Ohtani's spokesman sets up an interview with ESPN and sends Ohtani's interpreter and friend, Ippei Mizuhara, who says, I was the one with the gambling problem, and Ohtani was covering my gambling debts. Sat down with ESPN for 90 minutes and told the network that Ohtani had sat with him and the two transferred the money in $500,000 increments in several different settings. As ESPN was about to publish the story yesterday, the Ohtani spokesman retracted Mizuhara's account. Says, no, it's not true. So they sat down with Mizuhara again, and he tells ESPN that everything he said was not true. Ohtani had no knowledge of his gambling activities or his debts or was aware of any efforts to repay the debts. On Thursday, a source close to Ohtani gave an explanation for the changing story. As Ohtani's handlers tried to determine what happened, they relied solely on Mizuhara. So they asked Mizuhara what the story was, and that's the story that the spokesman gave out, except ESPN has seen the banking records showing these $500,000 wire transfers. Now, how would the translator be able to execute a series of $500,000 wire transfers? If you've ever done them, they're a pain in the neck. You need wire transfer instructions. You need a series of numbers. Sometimes you have to show up in person at the bank, especially if it's big money, because big money transactions are flagged by the bank, flagged by the IRS, because they're always on alert for money laundering. They're on the alert for bad guys who are handling either stolen money or money gotten from smuggling, drug smuggling, human smuggling, prostitution, all that. So the banks are very sensitive, especially when you're dealing with a very well-known celebrity, somebody who's signed a $700 million contract. So Ohtani's people are claiming that Mizuhara stole the $4.5 million in wire transfers. Now, how do you do that? How do you get a hold of the paperwork to sign? They do ID checks at banks. You can't just transfer $500,000 and send your buddy to go and handle it. That doesn't go on. Mizuhara was asked yesterday if he'd been accused of theft. He was told he couldn't comment, but wouldn't say who told him not to comment. When he was asked whether he had taken money without Ohtani's knowledge, he wouldn't answer a question on that either. The money was all going to some Southern California bookmaker named Matthew Bowyer. In case you didn't know, it's illegal to bet on sports in California. Go figure. Right? I mean, there's 40 states that you can do sports betting, not here. I think it was because did the Indian casinos make some donations to Sacramento politicians because they didn't want the competition? I remember that a few years ago. There were like dueling propositions on the ballot.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Indian casinos didn't want to lose business. So Sacramento, California become one of the few states where you can't do illegal sports betting. Well, this just doesn't add up. This doesn't make any sense. How does he give two interviews to ESPN, both with completely different stories? How is it that Ohtani knows nothing, did nothing, wasn't aware of anything? If this is bank wire transfers and ESPN has seen the transfers, then how would Mizuhara get access to Ohtani's account and be able to transfer the money repeatedly? First time it happened. I mean, when you do a series of these things, the bank has all kinds of protocols. They go crazy over this stuff. It's just simply can't do it easily. You have to be there in person. And they got to see your ID. They got to know you. You got to have a personal relationship to do this stuff. Eh. He's also claiming he never bet on baseball. $4.5 million of bad bets? How did he do that if he's making only $300,000 to $500,000 a year? I mean, why would it? I don't know. Too many questions. Bad answers so far. I don't believe Ohtani, Mizuhara, don't believe the Dodgers. Don't believe any of this. More's coming up.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
There's more coming out of now the New York Post about the Shohei Ohtani scandal, the Ippe Mizuhara, the interpreter. The Ohtani people are claiming that Mizuhara stole $4.5 million from Ohtani to cover his gambling debt. Bank wire transfers. This is a reversal of the original story from Mizuhara, where he said that Ohtani willingly covered Mizuhara's gambling debt. And then they changed the story. And suddenly law firm statements were released. So they've muddied the whole thing up. But like I said, it still doesn't make any sense. Even if Mizuhara stole the money, how do you get access to Ohtani's private bank accounts and be able to execute repeated wire transfers for large sums of money? How do you do that without Ohtani finding out? I mean, you get a monthly statement at the end of the month, don't you? You have an app on your phone. I don't know. I don't believe this. So ESPN's Tisha Thompson, she went on First Take. So here's another version of the story, that a Dodgers official told ESPN that Ohtani only seemed to become aware of the theft during a locker room meeting after the Dodgers won on Wednesday in South Korea. According to Thompson, Mizuhara, the interpreter, gets up and says something to the effect of, "I'm sorry, I apologize, I have a gambling problem." Another player says, "So what?" That's telling. That's when the president of the Dodgers says, "Well, Ohtani paid off the debts." And that's when it clicked for Ohtani that something was not right. So they're saying that Ohtani only became aware of this in the locker room after somebody translated what the president of the Dodgers was saying and what Mizuhara was saying in English. According to Tisha Thompson, Ohtani is not fluent in English. Everyone says that, but he has enough understanding to say, "What?" And he goes after the meetings and starts asking questions. Then they get a different interpreter. And through that second interpreter, that's what he found out about the money missing in the account. But it still doesn't explain how Mizuhara would get access to it. And he would actually go to ESPN and claim Ohtani approved of it? Well, if this is true, how long did he think that story would last, that Ohtani approved of it? And how would you do that? Unless his name was on the account. I mean, you could withdraw money from the ATM for somebody, right? If you have his PIN number and you have his debit card, but $4.5 million. This is one of the stories, one of these stories. They don't happen that often. When they do, they usually turn out to be doozies, because when you get a series of stories, and I think there's been now four of them, and each one of them doesn't make sense, and each one of them contradicts the other stories, then you know there's something big and ugly here. And obviously, there's a tremendous amount of money on the line. If Ohtani is tainted in any way by actually being involved in the gambling, well, you saw what they did to Pete Rose. And the Dodgers got $700 million on the line and their World Series aspirations. Not to mention, all the merchandise that Ohtani's going to sell, all the tickets that he's going to sell, all the ratings for the local television and the network TV games. I mean, they were going to showcase him the way they couldn't for the Angels. There's something about the Angels. Big stars go there and they evaporate, like Mike Trout did and Ohtani did. But the Dodgers are the big stage. And that's kind of weird that you had the Dodgers executive at the meeting trying to explain this, and that's only when Ohtani figures it out. So there's one big question here is, how does the interpreter get access to Ohtani's account in order to transfer bank wire transfers that gigantic amount of money? That cannot be digested the way they're presenting it so far. All right, we got more coming up. I've got some audio to play of a Venezuelan TikToker who's about to cross the border, and he's putting out the word in Spanish. We'll give you an English translation, too, on how all the migrants, all the illegal aliens that are coming in to the U.S., you should go and squat in people's homes in America, and you'll get away with it. That squatters have rights in America. Seriously, not making this up. We'll play you this clip when we come back and explain what the guy is saying. That's all ahead on the John Cobalt Show.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
This is a viral video off of TikTok. There is a guy who's crossing the border from Mexico. Supposedly from Venezuela. His name is Leonel Moreno. And he made a video and told his followers, and this has been seen 4 million times already, that U.S. laws allow squatters to seize uninhabited homes. He's not wrong. He says, if a house is not inhabited, we can seize it. And he's telling other would-be illegal aliens to come across the border, basically, and get your own house. Now, I'm going to play his clip so you can see this thing is real. He's speaking in Spanish, but I'm going to give you a translation. The Daily Mail gave a rough translation as the video ran. So go ahead, play the Spanish, and I'll do what I can here.
Mi gente, he pensado.
My people have thought about invading a home in the United States now that I became... Now that I became aware of a law that exists, if a house is not occupied, we can take it over. Capiche?
Podemos expropiarla. Capiche, muchachos.
Guys, the law of taking over land applies here in the United States. I think that will be my next business. 4 million followers. Invade houses that are abandoned now. I have found some information. Like my African friends, and they told me they had seven homes they confiscated. As the saying goes, Daddy, you got to find the way around, and the way around it right now. The way around it right now is invading homes. We are homeless, and it's the only way we have. Not to live in the streets and not be a public charge. Capiche?
Para no vivir en la calle y no ser una carga pública. Capiche? La ley
the law says that if the house is abandoned, deteriorated, in poor condition,
en mal estado, podemos llegar
we can come in and repair it, live in it, And we can even sell it, even request credit with it. Yeah. What do you think about it? What do you think about it? There you go. And that is Lionel Marino, and he's got 4 million people watching and urging all the illegal aliens cross the border and move into any abandoned house you find. And that's good. We already have a wave of squatters. I have read more squatting stories in the past few weeks than I have read in the last 10 years. And now you got this guy. I got another TikTok clip I want to play. Get Senate cut 5 and 6. We've got a minute. All right. This is the, you know, in the Congress, they want to ban TikTok, right? It's run by the Chinese Communist Party. They're going to spy on us. They're going to invade. They've already invaded the brains of millions of Americans, especially the young. Here's some proof. Here is Senator Tom Tillis warning of TikTok's dangers. And he talks about a young girl threatening him. Cut 5.
We've let a lot of kids off the hook, but I had a kid just recently say, I'm going to hunt you down and shoot you and cut you into little pieces. She sounds like she was about 16 years old or younger. To have TikTok tell these kids to do that doesn't actually help their case. It hurts their case.
All right. You don't believe him? Here's the clip.
Okay, listen. If you ban TikTok, I will find you and shoot you. That's people's jobs, and that's my only entertainment. And people make money out there too, you know. I'm trying to get rich like that. Anyways, I'll shoot you and find you and cut you into pieces. Bye.
I'll shoot you and find you and cut you into pieces. This is my only entertainment. Yeah. Teenage girl. There you go. So, and that's what the government is worried about, that if now you can convince teenagers to make phone calls like that, odds are she's not doing it. But hey, who knows, right? Is that they could command, the Chinese Communist Party can command a lot of kids to do who knows what and create all kinds of unrest in this country. Did you know anybody growing up who'd be willing to call a U.S. senator and threaten to kill him and cut him up into pieces? Even though she was giggling through it. You know anybody would do that?
I don't know anyone willing to call a senator at all.
Probably a lot don't even know there are senators. This is just nuts. But, hey, this is just a few minutes of TikTok. One Venezuelan guy is giving a message to 4 million people to break into the U.S., squat in the homes. And they got this girl threatening to chop up a U.S. senator into pieces because that's her whole entertainment. Great. Going in the right direction. Conway's here.
See, I look at it a different way. I now can go to Beverly Hills and get a bigger home, and I could squat in a bigger home. And then if they kick me out, I can go back to my home in Burbank.
Yeah, it's a good strategy.
It's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
Get a big pool, tennis court. Enjoy myself.
You believe this Ohtani thing?
That's pretty big, huh? This Ohtani thing is getting, it's a wild story. And you know what? I was listening to, I think it was the Duke of Sports, Eric Sklar, talking about this. This all happened under the Angels' watch. All of this information.
Right, yes.
And they're not taking any heat.
No.
None. They are like, nope, not our problem anymore.
Don't know anything.
Yeah. But I'm surprised also that this didn't come out before that trade. And if it did, would it have affected that trade? I don't know.
How does he get access to Ohtani's account?
It's wild.
Supposedly with Ohtani not knowing, it's $4.5 million.
Yeah.
And it's wire bank transfers. You ever done a wire transfer?
Sure, yeah.
That's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And 900 people check it and double check it, triple check
right,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. So how do you do that repeatedly with Ohtani's name on the account? I don't know. I don't believe any of their statements.
But the Dodgers and the Padres played their second game in Korea last night. It was early this morning. 26 runs scored in that game.
Nice debut by that new Dodger pitcher.
That's right. 26 runs in a game is a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get 26 runs a week, you're kicking ass.
Are the fences in Korea 300 feet?
I don't know. But that stadium where they played, I wish we had more of those stadiums here in the United States because there's only 16,000 people.
Shohei hit two flyouts today to the outfield, to the warning track, and they would have been home runs in about half of the major league stadiums.
Oh, so they're big parks.
Yeah, these are big.
Yeah.
But there's only 16,000 people. Isn't that right? In a sellout?
Yeah, it's a much smaller crowd.
Yeah, I like that. You know,
yeah.
16,000. Remember when the Chargers used to play at the Home Depot?
Be able to get out of Dodger Stadium more quickly.
That's right. Yeah. Instead of 58,000 people, you know, there's 30,000 people less or whatever that number is. 30,000 less people. That's great. Dean Sharp is coming on with us. He's always great at 6:20. We'll talk to Dean Sharp. And then also AT&T proposes to phase out landline service in California. That's over. Landline service is over. So eventually you're going to see, people only with, internet service and no landlines, which sucks because when I was growing up and you were growing up, if you're on a landline, it's literally like you were next to the person. It was crystal clear.
Yeah.
And now all that's gone.
I know. No dropouts.
I don't think it's an advancement. I think it's a step back in technology.
Everything is like that. All the advancements are.
I know. Sometimes, I love Michael Bryan. It's not his fault. But the technology sometimes when we listen to traffic is more garbled than 1969 when guys were on the moon. You can hear them clear when they're on the moon. And again, I don't blame Michael Bryan at all.
Yeah.
But there's something in getting, that airplane to talk to us is somehow. Maybe not as good as the guy on the moon. That's another reason why I don't believe we're on the moon. I still, to this day, will tell you we were not on that moon.
Okay.
No moon landing.
No moon landing. All right.
Nothing. All right.
You expand on that.
Dig dog with you.
Crozier's coming up at the news.
Oh, but then we got NCAA scores.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. On sale now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.